in the studio, I've got Rick and Jody. Good morning.
Morning, Aaron. Morning, Whangaroa.
Kia ora.
So we're here to talk about community energy Whangaroa. And Rick, we know you from Extreme Zero Waste Activities. And Jody, you were here on the... Were you on the here a little while ago talking about climate change calculations for community organisations?
Yeah, that was as part of the climate response program, which was a pilot program that's finished now.
Yeah, and you, and the significant thing about you being here is that you're actually a staff member for the project.
So yes.
I think that's significant because previously it's been Rick coming in, and I know other guys like Charlie involved as well and some others, and wanting to do things, wanting to get things going. So it's quite significant when you actually get around to hiring a staff member, I think.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic role. I'm really happy to be on board as the project manager, so pulling together all of these ideas and visions that Rick and Steve and Gareth and Gary and others have been discussing and formulating for the last 2-3 years. Is that right?
Yeah,
Rick?
Well, let's talk about that. So, because I think we've talked to you before about this, and things maybe had gone a little bit quiet about the project. And then you turned up at the previous community board meeting, not the one this week, and you kind of like, it's all go again?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we're not kind of masters of all the pieces. So, you know, some of it has taken a lot longer than we had hoped. And it's, to be honest, it's quite a complex industry with the lines companies and the retailers and the changes in legislation which were happening, which is great. You know, there's more options for the community to be involved in an area which really used to be pretty tightly managed by commercial companies.
Mm. So let's go right back to the beginning. What is Community Energy Whangaroa all about?
Well, I sort of see it as, if you can liken it to Extreme Zero Waste, who have been working in our community for the last 25 years to motivate and encourage zero waste.
Yeah.
Community Energy Whangaroa will be working in our community to look at issues around energy and local solutions.
So, Rick, what's motivated it? Because you were right there at the start. What motivated you guys to get together?
Yeah, I think... probably around energy hardship is the greatest motivator. You know, we've got so many people who are suffering in this town. We're living in, you know, old batches and converted garages and poor insulations. We've got so many old folk, you know, who are so tight for money. You know, they'd prefer to put on an extra layer, you know, an extra jersey or jacket rather than stoke up the switch on the heater for a while. And so, you know, this is kind of class around energy hardship. People just don't have enough money to actually pay their bills.
Right.
And so that's one of the ways in which they save money is, you know, is to not use so much electricity. But with lines charges increasing and people... If you're a large user of electricity, then you actually get discount rates. If you're a small user, then you pay the top rate. So once again, economic instruments, you know, the small user is the one who's actually going to pay the most amount of money. So
the Bluff Aluminium Smelter always does well
at
the negotiating table.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So around energy hardship, it's the opportunity to look after our folk, and some of that is around retrofitting houses with insulation.
Yeah.
Some of it is around maybe helping people out with their bills. If we can identify people in our community who are in need, then maybe for the winter we can look after those folk and pay their electricity. But in order to do that, we actually have to generate some money.
So how does it work? How can we do things in a way that benefit people? You must be doing something, proposing something different to how the electricity industry is currently run, basically.
Yeah, well, that's right. But so if we focus on energy hardship, and some of it is around energy literacy, and that was certainly an issue for me over the last 2 years. I've never learned so many acronyms, you know, in all my life. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But and there's even trying to read your power bill and understand, you know, what's the best way of actually using your electricity. So it works for you, and you know, you can charge your EV, or you can have electricity in your house, or you can for your hot water cylinder. What's the best time of the day to actually be using that electricity? And so hardship, literacy, but in order to pay for some of this, we're getting into generation and storage of electricity.
Right.
And so Jody's come on board right at this time. We've got a big installation on the roofs up at Extreme Zero Waste.
So that's on the new building that everyone should have noticed by now, is it?
Yeah, that's right. That's the recycle building that was built with new equipment in it, and that funding came from central government, from Ministry of Environment, from the waste levies.
Yeah.
So Raglan was rewarded for achieving a sort of 75-80% diversion rate and being pioneers in waste diversion, waste minimisation. And so they were able to make application and get the funding for upgrade of machinery and the building, which, you know, hopefully will cater for Raglan's growth over the next 5 to 20 years.
And it left you with a roof that you could put solar panels on.
Yeah, solar panels. And so Jody's come in right at this point where we've, you know, got our first installation, and we're about to put in a big battery bank there. And it's a very interesting battery bank, because it'll actually be recycled Nissan Leaf batteries. And we're so lucky in our community to have amazing technicians. Neil Darwin is that amazing person.
Yeah,
and
Neil,
and so he's been able to actually design the software for the Nissan Leaf batteries to talk to the inverters, and the inverters back to the batteries in a safe way. And it's all been peer reviewed by another engineer. Once we have that set up and tested and we're happy with it, then we'll open source that information so other communities can also use Nissan Leaf batteries.
You did mention at the community board meeting that Nissan hadn't envisaged their batteries being used for anything else, and they weren't that helpful.
No, and there's been complications. We've been working with Toyota as well, and you know, obviously they've got lots of hybrid vehicles which are nearing the end of their life, and so therefore lots of batteries. And they're establishing a battery deconstruction plant at Corpu at Thames,
okay,
at the old assembly plant. But yeah, they struggle to get the information even out of Toyota, or Nissan's, you know, is reluctant to give the information as well about how to reuse those batteries.
What was happening with them otherwise? Have they just been dumped?
No, I think in overseas there's definitely battery deconstruction and recycling projects. It's just that kind of the volume that we have here in this country is relatively small.
Yep.
So the options are to ship them overseas or build some infrastructure here, which Toyota is going to do it.
So they've bitten the bullet and they're doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so explain the batteries reach the end of their life as far as the car is concerned, but they're still useful for this project. Is that kind of how that works?
Yeah, the batteries, when they get down to kind of 70-80% in a car, then people deem them to be no longer appropriate. You know, it's shorter miles, can carry less weight.
Yeah.
But at that sort of 70-80% capacity, they're just fine for a domestic or energy collection and storage. And so you can align the batteries in such a way that you can collect a large volume of electricity, and then either hold it for emergencies, which part of this project is about resilience, community resilience. And we know that we're going to have climate issues, and that Jodie mentioned before that she's been involved in, where we're going to the power's going to go off, and so if we can store it and at key locations, up at the community house, perhaps at the school, the marae, the medical centre, some of these key places where if the power goes off, we can still operate.
Okay, so and I guess if you think about energy resilience out here, I think there's two electrical lines coming out. When I first moved to Raglan, there was one, and there were constant power cuts in this town, but now there's two, but they both come along State Highway 23, don't they? So yeah. If we had something serious happen on the highway, we would probably lose both those at the same time.
Yeah.
That's probably quite extreme thing, but we saw...
No, not at all. It's
extreme is becoming more common, isn't it?
Yeah.
What we saw this year.
I think it's, we need to be ready for it. It's going to happen, you know. It's just really depends on when. I mean, we had a slip on State Highway, you know, that blocked off the roads. I mean, it could have taken the power pole and the line down, you know, and that could have happened in a number of locations, like it's happened in Auckland and over at the East Coast, and it's been weeks before people have got their power back.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so it's very real. Jodie, perhaps if you could give your job description, that might give us a little bit of insight into how the thing's working as well, how the project's working.
Okay, so as project manager, my job is to pull together a plan for the next 12 months.
Yeah.
And that plan will include looking at options for where we can install some renewable generation.
Yep.
So firstly looking at solar, but open to other innovations around hydro or wind.
Okay.
So looking at local businesses who might be interested, who have roof space.
So how would that work? Would the local business have more, say, solar panels than they need, and the excess would contribute to the community, or they could give all of it? I mean, how does...
Yeah, firstly looking at businesses that operate during sunshine hours, like Extreme Zero Waste is a great example.
Yeah.
So while they're generating, they're using their energy in the processing yard and offices and what have you. And any excess, is being exported back to the grid, and surpluses from that excess energy can come back to Community Energy Whangaroa. To build up a pool of funds that can be used for workshops around energy literacy, for looking at how we can increase the health of homes in Raglan, and for assisting those that might need it for energy hardship.
So are you looking for people who are interested in doing that then?
Absolutely.
If they want to get in touch?
They can get in touch.
How do you guys have a website or... Facebook, social media, TikTok account?
We're working on a website, a few things to finalise that. And then in about a month's time, we'd like to run some workshops as well.
Yeah.
To get the community along, and that might involve some looking at power bills and helping to understand how our energy is generated and used.
What about helping people just to shift power companies? Because... I don't know, maybe I'm getting older, but I find that sort of thing harder and harder to do. They don't make it easy, obviously, because it's not in their interest. Is that a thing that you guys could do? Like,
absolutely.
Just come in with them next to the computer and just walk them through it?
Yeah. Yeah, looking at the different retailers and the different benefits that might be there for you, depending on your usage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had an experience here. We were with that special project that Well Energy had done, which was a previous trust for Well Energy Trust had decided to set up a power company to disrupt the market, and then the next 3 years later new people were on the trust, and so they scuttled it. But we just that so that company got sold to Frank Energy. Our power bills increased tenfold. I'd forgotten how much savings we were getting. We were getting a huge saving, but our bills increased tenfold, and there were real problems trying to pay. Like, their systems didn't work properly. We were classed as a business and we couldn't set our payments up properly. They ended up threatening to cut us off. Mm. And it was just very difficult. And you're trying to find a real person to talk to or then someone who can make decisions. It was just a real pain in the neck.
Mm.
So Frank Energy's got some real nice folksy advertising and culture that they're, right. that they're putting out there. But behind the scenes, it's the same old thing of trying not to have an actual human being engage with you, to have a computer engage with you, and you do all the work.
Mm.
So, yeah, I need to talk about this, but
it's good to
I should
hear.
Do this off the air.
No, that's what we want to hear, is what are people in the community need help with and how can we assist?
Yeah. And I think it is made hard for people, so just being able to walk alongside someone while they do that. You can say, oh, if you went to this company, that would be $500 a year cheaper, which I know it can be that much of a difference.
Absolutely.
And here's how you do it. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that we're working on at the moment is trying to formalise a partnership with a retailer that can do peer-to-peer trading.
Yeah.
So if Extreme Zero Waste is generating excess energy, that can be passed on to someone else in the community directly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there an organisation doing that? Is there an organisation doing it? That guy John Campbell has been in town, and was it called Our Power or Raglan? I can't remember. There's so many different organisations with different names. Can someone?
Yeah, it was called Raglan Local Energy.
Raglan Local Energy.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
And we will be clarifying that confusion.
Yeah.
Through our website and workshops.
So that's a different organisation.
Yes.
But they are working with peer-to-peer technology, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And using the same concept of taking the middleman out of the equation, basically like the power companies, and selling just locally or swapping electricity locally. I'm struggling to explain things here, but
yeah. Yeah, and it really was. It's a very interesting time for the power companies. As I mentioned before, there is changes in the legislation coming up to make peer-to-peer more common.
Yeah.
And it's so Well Energy and Our Energy were actually trialling a system to actually show, and Raglan's a perfect place to do it because we've got twice as many EVs than anywhere else in the country per head of population. And so it's about setting up an administration system for people to use power but also to generate small amounts of power, and how that can actually work and how it can be recorded, and how you can either have that as a discount off your bill, or if you wanted to sell those electrons and move them to another place. So like for the smart meters, it's not electron to electron, but you know, if you get a credit on one place, and then you can actually credit another smart meter.
So I think the summary was that locals were able to sell their excess energy at a better price, and the locals who were benefiting from that were paying less than they would because the big electricity companies weren't involved.
Yeah.
But that's nothing to do with you guys. That's still going. No. Like Tony Houston and Bob McLeod, they were involved in that as people with solar panels. And
Not so much. And it was more of a trial of this administration system. And so it was successful, and they collected the information they needed to. So there was no point in continuing with the project.
Oh, so it's not actually running.
So it's not actually running.
Oh, okay.
However, you know, the person who is running Our Energy is an amazing guy, and he has a very similar value set to Community Energy Whangaroa. So yeah. We're still working with him, as Jody mentioned, and we hope to have a really good partnership with him, because he's got the peer-to-peer trading side of it. That
yep.
It's all sort of set up in such a way that you can't be involved in generation and retail, etc. So those are some of the changes that are happening.
So he's worked out the technical side of it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, and which somebody had to do.
So we'll be pulling the best out of that that trial,
yeah,
and offering it back to Raglan as through Community Energy Whangaroa.
Okay. And Jody, I probably interrupted you halfway through describing what your job involved. Is there more to tell us?
So three main parts of my project will be energy generation,
yeah,
education,
yeah,
so around workshops in the community, and healthy homes.
Okay, so that's like insulation as well as cheap electricity or cheaper electricity.
Yeah, understanding power bills, reducing energy costs in the home with energy efficiency tips and tools.
Okay. You had something, Rick?
It was something that Gareth, who's part of the trust, he was saying that they had put some little monitoring buttons in some of the houses, and one of the projects was around Tokoroa, and they were recording 3 degrees Celsius inside the house during the nighttime. You know, and sure, Tokoroa is particularly cold. You know, it's a frosty area, and it was maybe -3 outside. But
it's frosty. It's not Antarctica.
Like. Yeah, I mean, three degrees inside your house. You know, is that really the type of environment you know, for our old folk or for our babies?
Yeah, there's been so much work done over the last decade. I think actually, even when National was in power, the Green Party had a deal with them where they were putting insulation in homes. And it feels like a lot of homes received the benefit of that, but I'm guessing there's still a lot that didn't out there. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, it's a 10-year program, and probably CBEC, you know, in Northland, you know, they've done the most, 250,000 homes or something like that.
Did they do
it's
that much?
Incredible.
So, folks, you don't know what CBEC is. They're kind of the equivalent of Extreme Zero Waste up in Kaitaia. But they went quite broad. They ran a bus service and
swimming
pool insulation. Yeah, because Kaitaia lost a lot of its council services or government services back in the 80s and 90s. So there's more to do up there, I think.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Raglan's probably missed out. It hasn't really been part of the Waikato Healthy Home Project. Very few homes out here have received that support. But we know that with the amount of housing and the amount of people that are squeezed into Raglan's, you know, that a lot of the batches and a lot of the garages have been converted into accommodation.
Yeah, those old batches that they used to build in the 50s and 60s, they weren't the flashiest, were they?
No.
Not at all. So there was also, Rick, I remember talk about creating a solar farm, not just on a roof of a building, but it sounded to me like quite a serious solar farm. Is that still an ambition of Whangaroa Energy, Community Energy Whangaroa. I've got to get this right.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of scale, so as Jodie mentioned, we're looking for partners and who own commercial buildings with roofs of a size, you know, that we can create a surplus. But for a real efficiency, it would be wonderful to have a solar farm.
Yeah.
And kind of giving a feel, it'd be like 10 acres of panels.
Yeah.
And we're very interested in and working again with landowners, but also some of the universities around agrisolar. So we're saying that it doesn't have to be agriculture or energy production. It actually could be both. And if we look at the heat in the middle of the summer and the grass generation, in fact, a bit of shade is exactly what you want.
Yep.
And these days, it's not necessary to put all of the solar panels facing north, which creates the maximum amount of energy in the middle of the day, but that's not necessarily when we're needing the electricity. It's actually more needed in the early morning and the late afternoon. So facing panels east and west and creating less shadow, putting them on poles and still having agriculture. So, you know, we would like to think that it's an integrated approach and that we'll be trialling all sorts of interesting things that will hopefully help with energy production, but also potentially increase food's resilience as well in the future.
So if there's a landowner out there who's interested in this concept, then you want to hear from them.
Yeah, and the electricity line that you mentioned, you know, two lines into Ragland, really the only opportunity for us to have a solar farm and generate that amount of electricity is really got to be close to the main road underneath the meridian lines that come down off the wind farm.
The closer the better, because you can hook into the system.
That's right, you know, or... if there is a new subdivision coming up, you know, and they have to do a serious upgrade, you know, and whether that be out to Kuwai or, you know, or the other side of the bridge, you know, is then Well Energy will need to upgrade the system. And at those times, then, you know, we could think of other locations. But at the moment, we're only really looking at land that's adjacent or close to the main road,
yep.
Between the edge of town and the deviation.
Okay. And there's one other thing. We're kind of running out of time, but we'll keep going. There was something else I wanted to talk about, and it kind of, like, when you look at how the finances run around extreme zero waste and the financial effects that it has on the community of having a wholly locally owned organisation doing the infrastructure instead of waste is usually done by quite a large corporation that probably isn't even based in New Zealand. And I know from looking at the accounts and having made the film I made that there's a huge financial benefit to the community of that. Is that kind of, that kaupapa of Extreme, that's part of this project as well, to take control of some of our infrastructure so that it can benefit the community more?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's the opportunity to train people up. And we've got some amazing people like Neil Darwin and Stendi. Stendi Electricity have been just amazing.
Yeah.
And Jeff and Kevin have partners in this project. And they see a real expansion in this area. And one of the projects that we're working on is a proposal for Raglan Area School. And obviously, they've got lots of roofs. They're big users of electricity. But there's an opportunity, you know, to train our youth to develop teams of people for doing solar installation. And if they pick up the skills here, then they could go anywhere in the country. It's just such a big growth industry.
Hmm. Can we put back to the kind of the financial benefit for the community? Is there a way of putting that in context? Because I get the idea, but how, yeah, are you able to talk around that?
Well, it's
like we're saying, yeah. There'll be financial benefits for the community. How does that happen?
Yeah. Well, there's probably multiple ones. There's the employment opportunity. There's if you're a host, if you decide that your commercial building or large building can have generation on it, you know, then you can lower the cost to yourself. We've then, through the excess and the peer-to-peer trading, are able to look after all of our people in energy hardship. We can build the resilience tool of having generation but also storage in case the power goes out. So those all have economic benefits to our community. They talk now about virtual power plants, and which is really to be able to connect all of the little solar installations around the country together. You can do it all virtually, and that becomes your kind of power plant, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
So we're saying that maybe we don't need more hydro dams and or other we don't need to be importing Indonesian coal or burning gas. Mm. We can actually have these virtual power plants, which is the collection of all of these tiny little solar and winds and hydro systems all connected together. And part of this project will also be energy efficiency. You know, we need to be smart about how we use electricity, and we need to minimize. There's probably, you know, that's going to be a big one. Through insulation, but also if you've got an EV, then you've got the ability to use that as a storage unit.
Another side of efficiency would also be, like, the further the electricity has to travel from generation to use, like, you get a lot of drop-off along that, and I'm sure they try to minimise that, but if the generation is right next to the use, there's going to be a lot less drop-off as well. This is what I understand.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, a lot lost in heat, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah. Now, interrupted, was there more, or was that...
Oh, that's a pretty good list for now.
Okay, that'll do. All right.
Jody's going to add to that.
Well, Jody, what I actually wanted to ask you, because I should wrap up, what's the thing you're focused on right now? Just to give us an idea of where the project's at.
Really? So focusing on the website and finalising partnership with a retailer so that we can really clarify what we're offering to the community and so it makes sense to the community.
Yeah.
And looking at opportunities for more generation.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you are somebody out there who's interested in hosting solar, you can get in touch. My email's jodi@cewh.org.nz.
And how do you spell Jodi?
J-O-D-I.
There we go. All right. So, yeah, so folks, we've been talking to Jodi Pinfold, who is the – are you the project manager? Is that what we call you now?
That's right.
Project manager. And Rick, who is a project godfather with several other people. I don't know. Have you got a title now, Rick?
No.
No title. Goodness, no. It's Rick. But there is a – like there's a board or a committee or a trust or something that you're part of overseeing it, yeah.
That's right, yeah. The governance of it is extreme zero waste, and there's a limited liability company which sits underneath, which is called Community Energy Whangaroa.
Yeah.
So that's got a quite a diverse board on it at the moment, and the offer to Poihakina to be involved in that governance in the future.
Yeah.
And that one of the people on there is Gareth Cartwright, who is the coordinator for the Community Energy Network, and that's a national network, and,
right.
and he's really, you know, the brains of it. You know, he understands what's the changes that are happening in central government to the legislation to make all of this possible.
Right, okay. And so that means there's more people in other communities doing this as well.
Yep, there is. Whangaroa probably a little bit further down the track, and we've had an amazing steering group, which is once again is Stendi, Neil, and Tony Houston, who's incredible, you know, and does all of the energy work for Fonterra.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. Well, look, thanks heaps for coming in, and for the radio station can help in any way. If we want to make some ads for you guys when the time is right, we're excited to be able to help out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, folks, that is the end of the show for the day and for the week. I got it yesterday. I thought it was Friday. Today is actually Friday. So I'll see you all again next week.